Hey guys, welcome to Femke Takeover, presented by Bella Femme Inc. and Lex Media. I am your host, Karma with the C, and tonight we have
the one and only Esland.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. You are doing really nice work with Watch the Kids. You're doing really nice work. I just wanted to say that
because
I went to one of your events.
Thank you for coming.
So could you, for those who don't know, touch up on it. What is Watch the Kids? What do? Who are you?
All right, so my name is Eslan Bejist. I am by trade a registered nurse. I am the founder and president of two nonprofit organizations, What About the Children in Haiti, and then there's What About the Children at Home. Collectively, they're known as Watch Kids. So Haiti focuses on Haiti, Home focuses on the children locally. I also have an adventure blog that I do called IT Adventures with Eslan, and I recently started a website that connects the world to like everything Haiti called IT Overload.
Okay, so what do you guys do with Watch Kids? What do you guys mainly focus on with the kids?
All right, so the background story on how did I get started with Watch was when I was 12 years old, my dad brought me to Haiti for the first time. And it was like a culture shock for me because I never had seen like homeless kids and, you know, things of that nature at such a young age. And I told him, like, right then and there, like, you know, like, I have to do something to help. And I remember one day we went to the movies in Haiti. And there was a little boy who maybe 8 or 9 years old. He came up to us. Obviously, he lived on the streets. And he asked for some change. And, like, as I reached in my pocket to hand him some money, a cop came and, like, shooed him away and apologized to me. And then I asked my cousin, I'm like, yo, what just happened? Because, you know, you don't see that in the States. And she was like, you know, no pays ça, si vous paguez maman ou paguez papa, ou pour quand vous paguez en yamoun. So from there, I was like, yo, I have to do something. So I was 12, couldn't really do much, didn't understand business. But what I started doing was every summer, my dad was one of those, like, I'm his favorite. Seven kids. He has seven kids, but I am the favorite. So he would not leave me behind. So I would go to Haiti for like a month at a time with him every summer, and I would just bring things, and they would take me to like the hospitals and orphanages and things like that. And starting off at first, my parents discouraged me from doing it. They used to be like, "Kono ba kono Haitien, ya manjo, ya batu." You know, they really didn't want me to do it because I wasn't born in Haiti. You know, they said I didn't understand the country, but you know, years later now, they love what I do.
Right. So tell us about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm from West Palm Beach.
Okay.
Born and raised, and I currently live in Orlando.
Okay. Where are your parents from? What part of Haiti?
My mom is from Jacmel, Mayigo, and my dad is from Okai.
Okay. Seven kids. That's six brothers and sisters.
Four brothers and two sisters.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So growing up, did you know that you wanted to be a nurse, or was it kind of like pushed on you?
I kind of like tried to stay away from it because my entire family is nurse. Like, we're all nurses. My two older sisters are nurses. So I did everything to stay away from it, and I ended up becoming a nurse.
Wow.
And I love it. I just didn't want to be like my sisters, and I didn't want to do like the whole nurse thing. That's what every Haitian woman pretty much is told to be. But I actually love being a nurse.
But how did you fall into it though?
When I first started college, I was education major. I think like the first semester I had to do an externship. And those kids at the elementary school, changed my major. Like right away, I had to finish out the class. So I was like, nope, this ain't for me. And then I think I did psychology. I did everything to avoid nursing. And I feel like that's just where God pushed me.
Okay. I mean, at least you still have something to fall back on. It's something that's, you know, still bringing in coins. And it's like consistent coins. At least you have that. So what have you accomplished, and why what are your career goals?
All right, so I wear like many hats, and I'm something that I'm working on and kind of try to condense my list down. But most recently I created a card game. It's called Culture Shock Zolife Edition.
Where have I heard that from?
You probably seen, I have a video ad out with Jonas.
Okay, that's probably where.
Yeah, so basically it's a card game that teaches the history of Haiti. Because I love reading, I love history, but most people don't like to read. So So it's like a fun way that you can learn about Haiti's history. I meant to bring them today, but I forgot them actually. But so it's like it can be an adult game, it could be a drinking game, however you want to play it. But at the end goal, you learn a lot about Haiti's history. Mm-hmm.
So is it like, explain the game a little bit.
All right, so it's like it's a question, it's a card game. So I would ask you a question like, you know, when did Haiti win their independence? And there's option A, B, C, or D.
Okay.
And you have to pick the correct answer. Mm-hmm. And if one of the ways an adult game, if you get it wrong, you got to take a shot or something.
Okay. So you said you wear many hats. So what other hats do you do?
Of course. Watch kids, of course. So right now we currently have a mentorship program in Haiti where we have 50 kids who attend our after-school mentorship at a school in Kafoufé called André Malouo Institution Mix. And I'm a nurse, of course, full-time. And the blogging recently, the video blogs, pretty much IT Adventures with Eslon is I go to Haiti and I just do some crazy stuff, like crazy different adventures to just kind of show people Haiti is not what you think it is. Like, because I've had people ask me, Haiti has cars? Like, wow. I didn't know that, you know, Haiti had pools or beaches. I'm like, it's an island. What do you mean you didn't know we have any beaches? So I go and I like cliff dive at Bassemble, do just different things to just kind of show people a different view of Haiti.
So how do you feel about a woman's role in a male-dominated industry?
Any male-dominated industry? Because my industry is women-dominated.
You being an entrepreneur?
Oh, yeah, an entrepreneur. I believe now with, like, the Me Too movement and everything that's going on, like, women are coming in, we're holding our head high, we're confident, we're not afraid, and we're just going for it. So I feel like the men, by now, they're getting used to us. It's like, hey, like, it is what it is. You just got to, we do have to work twice as hard.
Right.
But we stand out twice as much as they do.
Okay. So what advices would you give a woman trying to get into the same industry as you?
I have a lot of few. Which industry?
So I'm sorry. We're not talking about watch kids. We're talking about your crafts, all your crafts. Watch kids, you being an entrepreneur.
My advice would be to just go for it. Like if you have an idea, if you have something that you're passionate about, don't hesitate, don't think about it, pray about it, and just go for it. And go for it fast, because if you kind of sit on things, you can kind of talk yourself out of it or scare yourself out of it. So my advice would be, hey, whatever it is, there's no limit to what you can and cannot do. Just do it.
Right. So growing up, did you experience, I'm pretty sure you experienced the three L's, the Lico Lata.
No, I did not.
What?
No.
What child were you in within all seven?
Number five.
Okay, so that's not that bad. So
my sisters didn't either. None of us did. No. My parents are like probably the most chill Haitian parents you would ever meet. They're not Americanized by a long shot. But I think because my mom had like all those kids, I think Liglis for her was her break from us. My mom did not go to church. Only time we ever went to church growing up was when she didn't have a babysitter when we were too young. But the second we were of age, she was like, bye, I'm out. I'm gone. I didn't have to go. Only time I had to go to church is if I slept back at my aunt's house. But nope, I did not have to go. I wasn't forced to go to church.
Was it like strict? Was it like legal, at least legal black eyes? Was it like?
No, I didn't have a curfew. Yeah, I did not have a curfew.
You're so lucky.
No, one thing that my parents told me at a young age was, we trust you until you do something for us not to trust you.
Okay.
So I didn't have a curfew, but I knew for myself to be home at a certain time. Like my dad said, no boys until you graduate. I did not have a boyfriend until I graduated, never even touched a boy, you know? So it's like, I respected my parents. It's more so maybe fear of disappointing them. So, and I saw the mistakes that people around me were making.
So,
my parents were very chill. Like I had my own room. This is when we had dial-up internet to my age, but I had my own computer, internet access. My parents didn't even have a key to my room. They had to knock to come into my room.
So do you feel as if, even though you still did not have the strict parents, you still are a responsible adult? You still do what you have to do? The point I'm trying to make is basically adults don't have to be that strict on their kids.
No, you don't. You talk to them. And then my older siblings, my sisters, they were great examples for me to, like, look up to. You just have to show your children that you trust them. Because you could be the strict L'École d'Église Lacaille and they still gonna go behind your back at L'École d'Église Lacaille and do what they do.
Right, right.
So it's like, it's all about communication and having that relationship with your children to let them know, like, hey, I trust you, I see you, but I'm not like hovering over you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so how do you feel about keeping up with social media for all your crafts and how to use it?
It's hard, like, especially with me, I manage a few different pages. I have the IT Overload, I have the Watch Kids, I have my personal, and then I have the IT Adventures with Eslon. And I was just saying, like, I need an intern or someone to help me, because it's really hard. And me, for my mental sake, like, I take breaks from social media. Like, right now, I'm on a break from social media, so I don't log on. So it's pretty hard, because if you're not careful, social media can kind of overpower your life and kind of take over. And you find yourself, like, logging on. You didn't even realize you picked up your phone and you were scrolling through Instagram or Facebook. We find the need to share everything, and it's like we don't have to.
But, okay, so right now, because you're on your break, is there somebody else that's keeping an eye and watching over your stuff, or no?
I'm not the only one who runs my Watch Kids. So I do have a board of directors, and they have access to the social media as well.
Okay, so what about your other, like, Haiti Overload, IT Overload, and...
IT Overload, I do have someone else who has access as well. But the IT Adventures with Eslon is just me.
Okay, so now that you said that, my question for you is, because social media is like moves really rapid and marketing doesn't stop for anybody, it just moves rapid. Mm-hmm. Do you feel as if because you're taking a break, what's the period that how long are you taking a break for?
I didn't give myself a time.
Okay.
So, it's been like 4 days now.
Okay, so let's say you go on a month or even a week sometimes.
I've done that a month before.
Like, wouldn't it be hard for you to come back and grasp the people's attention again? Or because a human's attention spans can only last for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, for instance, if the Shade Room would stop posting for a whole month, girl, I already unfollowed the Shade Room. I'm following somebody else now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like somebody who's doing the same thing. So how is that working out for you?
Well, that's why it's important to have someone else running a page with you. But there's, like, different websites that you can get on to schedule posts. So you don't necessarily have to physically grab the phone and do it at that time. You can plan to have this posted ahead of time. So that makes it easier as well.
Okay. I guess I should try that because I'm scared to...
Yeah, I forgot the name, but... I cannot think of it for the life of me, but there's a website that you can just go on, and it has all the social medias. You connect your accounts to it, and you schedule. You can schedule weeks in advance or days or whatever, and they post it automatically.
Okay. So do you feel – okay. I was going to ask you, do you feel attached to your social media, but you can't live without it. But when did you, like, tell yourself, yo, yeah, I think I have an issue. Let me just – give myself a break. Like, when do you realize that you need a break?
I realize that I need a break when I pick up my phone and I find myself on Instagram or Facebook and didn't even know that I was on, like, the page. You know how you just subconsciously just scrolling and you're scrolling. And the reason is that the other day, I actually, I don't know, it's when that whole R. Kelly thing happened. And everyone was just posting these memes and just posting, and some people making, like, jokes about it and everything. And I was like,
so you was like, okay, break time.
Mm-hmm.
Break. Okay. So this is what, your second break, or?
I don't know what number I'm on, but I do them often. If it's just, like, 24 hours or 2 days, like, everything works better when you unplug and recharge it. Like, even your phone, sometimes you got to turn it off. And it starts acting slow and groggy, you gotta cut it off and restart your phone. It's the same thing with the mind.
Okay, so when you're going through clouded moments and you know you're going through your unwinding, what do you do to like for yourself while you're going through this?
I play a lot of like when I want to get on social media, like at work, because I work night shift, I'll play like word games on my phone and kind of like, you know, get my brain thinking and things like that. But I work on my blog a lot and just planning, like, different events. Because I'm in Haiti, like, every other month. So just planning different things that I'm going to do. Because I even do group trips to Haiti. So just I'm always constantly planning something.
So your blogs, what can you tell us a little bit about your blogs?
All right, so IT Adventures with Eslon is my adventures in Haiti, pretty much. I interview like business owners there, regular everyday people, some artists. I've interviewed producers and things of that nature. And then IET Overload was something that I recently created. It's basically, the goal is to be for it to become a digital magazine, okay, to like kind of connect just the world to Haiti, not just Haïtien Cap Vive, ici, mais pour Haïtien Lot Bois too. So I, on my blog, it's actually bilingual. I have interviews in Creole for the ICNKIT, Puyo Khalil, and then as well as the Haitians here in English too, fully included in it. So that's pretty much the same thing. We interview business owners there as well. We talk about the news, entertainment, lifestyle, culture, just everything.
Okay, so how did you come about IT Overload? Like what made you sit down and say, ooh, I wanna do this?
My IT adventures with Eslon, I just love reporting like anything Haiti, but because of like that name and what that's about, I knew I had to stick to just adventures. Mm-hmm. So IT overload just meaning just everything in one. So
have you ever thought about maybe rebranding and changing name and just having everything together?
I have spoken with someone I met with of changing IT Adventures to Caribbean Adventures and branching out to different islands in the Caribbean and doing different, because I do like crazy stuff. Like I just went skydiving. I want to be scuba certified. I'll jump off a cliff. I do things like that. But IT Overload and IT Adventures with Eslon, I kind of want to keep them separate because Eslon is more informal. It's just a camera just following me around, and Overload is more professional.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. So what are some things if, our viewers can expect while reading IT Overload?
You will read about artists as far as, I have an interview on there from Nixon. He's an up-and-coming artist in Paris. You'll read about the situation that's going on with TPS, with Trump. Mm-hmm. You'll read about the situation in Haiti. You know how one minute there's a riot, the next there's not. You can even find information about my card game, Culture Shock, on there as well. There's just some of everything on there. If it's related to Haiti or Haitians, you'll find it on a website.
So do you write these personally yourself, or do you have, like, you partner with a group of writers who, you know, you guys just sit down and say, okay, I'm taking your piece, and we're going to put this in a magazine, or do you come up with all of these yourself?
Right now, because it's up and coming, I'm doing it myself, and I'm so overwhelmed. So yes, it's a lot. So especially for it to be what I want it to be. Mm-hmm. So I am looking for writers, not only in the States, but in Haiti as well, to get some bloggers out of Haiti to write some articles and to post it on the site.
Let me pause that right there, because I love to plug people on this show. So go ahead and say to the viewers, you're looking for...
I am looking for writers, for bloggers, content creators, video bloggers, just anything. If you want to report anything relating to, it doesn't have to necessarily be Haiti, just our culture,
Caribbean,
period.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not Caribbean, Haiti, okay, but Haiti. Just the culture.
Okay.
If soit vive Haiti, and journaliste ou pas con qui j'en, pour qu'a commencé, pour faire ça ou v'le faire, ou qu'a écrit nous, et nous qu'a mette, like, crème moi mal ou qui crème moi pas bon. So,
it's okay.
Paris, they don't like it. It's bad. You know, I can speak Creole good in private.
I'm on the same. Yes.
But when I want, you know, when I got to speak
spot,
Creole to people,
it's
yeah.
Like
but by myself, I'm a professional in Creole. But yeah, snap vive Haiti and nous voulons, you know, mette, how you say articles? I don't even know how to say articles in Creole.
Journal?
Like,
I never actually had to use that word.
Yeah, or newspaper. How you say
journal
it?
Journal is newspaper.
Journal. Okay, so snap vive Haiti, vous voulez écrire like journal, bagay comme ça.
How can they contact you for that if they're interested or email you?
They can email IT Overload. It's HAYTIOverload.com, or they can just connect with me on my social media, and my personal social media has everything listed on there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do you all these ideas, because you have wonderful ideas and you have like you're a creative person, I can tell. Like
yeah.
you're wonderfully
it's a lot.
So with all the stuff that you're going that you have going on with the nursing and then the watch kids and all that, like how do these ideas pop up in your head, and how do you actually come about to say, you know what, I'm sitting down and I'm going to start this? Like what are your steps
Well, first I'll like I always pray and like and ask God, like, okay, where are you trying to like push me to? Where is the need? What's lacking? Like, that's how like even Watch the name came about, because I always knew since 12 that I wanted to do something, but it was never called. I never had a name until I started college. And like I said, my parents forced me to go to church. So when I started college, things happened to me that I had no choice but to seek God on my own. And just with, I got baptized in college, and one day just praying, I felt like God was just, you know, talking to me, like, don't forget what you started. You know, because you get caught up in the college.
Right, right.
And I kept praying, and I'm like, well, what do you want me to call it? And I don't hear, like, God's voice, but it's like I can hear, like, him. Mm-hmm. And I got the letters W-A-T-C-H. And I was telling my roommate, my best friend, Shelly, and I'm like, yo, I got these letters, but I don't know what they mean. And it was, like, 3 weeks later that I realized that God was asking me, what about the children in Haiti? Don't forget what you started. So, like, I always
what about that
praying. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So how do you feel about sisterhood and woman empowerment?
Okay, well, I believe that your circle of friends should have the same dreams and same aspirations as you, because when you need support, if they don't have the same goals as you, it's going to be like almost impossible to get it. So I do believe that sisterhood and women's empowerment is extremely important for us to uplift each other, look out for each other, and for us to help each other grow.
Okay, so how do you use your crafts to empower women?
How do I use my craft to empower women? Well, with my nursing, me being a nurse, I encourage women to take care of their health. You know, we oftentimes neglect that, taking care of other people. Me being an entrepreneur, I use that to kind of motivate women to not to be afraid to go after their dreams. Like, hey, I'm doing like five things, and I work as a full-time registered nurse. You can do it.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So what verse or quote or Bible verse, because I know you're deep into your religion, so what Bible verse do you go by and why?
It is, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I think that's Hebrews 11, I want to say. I kind of forgot. But that's my verse that I go by, definitely, that I walk by faith and not by sight.
Why?
Because it just reminds me that when you can't see what God is doing, he's still working. Mm-hmm. Like, he knows what he's doing in your life. Because oftentimes when things don't happen for us the way it happens for other people, or, you know, you feel like things are taking longer for you than others, you're like, okay, God, what's up? What you doing? Where my man at? You know, it's things like that. But it's like, he's like, yo, chill, I got this. You know, you just do you. Walk by faith and not by sight.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just be patient. Keep it moving.
Yeah, girl.
So besides all that you're doing with your registered nurse and your class and everything, what are you passionate about?
Life.
Why?
I was reminded, you know, recently I had a niece of mine. She was 4 years old. She passed away.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. And just losing her helped me realize, like, you're not living. Like, any day now, you can wake up and you can be just like that. Even as a nurse, I see death every day, but it took losing her for me to realize, like, you have to live and be passionate about life. Like, don't just work to pay bills and die. Like, live your life. So, and I'm also passionate about family. Big on family.
Okay, so what does it mean to you to live your life? What does living your best life mean?
Living your best life. Okay, first off, like, I feel like everyone has a different version of best. You know, your best might be to just take care of your kids and your man and cook.
It's not, okay.
But it could be. But everyone has, like, their own version of best. But for me, living my best life is not bottle popping in a club, twerking. I mean, that's fun, but I'm not limiting myself to my best. So for me, living my best is going after my dreams, not being afraid, going after, you know, not letting fear hold me back from doing things that I should be doing. That's why I went skydiving, because I was terrified. You know, they say black people don't do stuff like that, especially a Haitian person. Like, I called my dad before I got on the plane. He was like, it's a, like, you know, but it's just living, like, what makes you happy, doing that to the full extent.
Okay, so my final question for you is, how do you define the Belle Femme?
Belle femme. Belle femme to me is someone courageous, someone who is strong. It's not an outward appearance. You know, people, you think of belle femme, belle means beautiful, beauty. So you look at the outside, but it's more so of the inside, because you can be beautiful on the outside and ugly on the inside. So a belle femme to me is just someone who is not afraid to be themselves and to go after things.
Okay, that's beautiful.
That's me, pretty much.
Yes, sir. Yes, because you're skydiving out of her.
Yeah.
Could you please tell us where we can find you, or if we want to, you know, join or help or even be a part of your magazines, how can we reach out to you? How can we contact you?
You can do that through, like, my personal Instagram has all the other Instagrams on there, and it's IAMESLAND, my first name, I am Eslan. We are looking for people to go on volunteer trips with us to Haiti, like at the school. Last year we had a big back to school bash in Haiti. I don't know if you know Atis Punch,
yes,
but he's my
yes.
ambassador. He was at my event.
Mm-hmm. I was there.
Yeah, you were at the event. So he's an ambassador. We do things in Haiti with the kids. So if you want to come to Haiti with us, like I do two parts. I don't call it mission trips. It's just a watch trip. And I also turn up, you know, the clean turn up.
The clean.
But yeah. But, you know, so, like, we look for people to come to Haiti with us. And for IT Adventures with Eslan, if you're interested in experiencing Haiti in a different way, you know, from a Haitian-American point of view, mm-hmm. I also do group trips to Haiti as well. But you can connect with me on social media,
right.
And you'll find everything.
So all of our information should be listed down below. Also, don't forget to like, subscribe, follow us, all the good stuff. Everything of our information will be down below. Shout-out to Belle Femme Inc. and Lux Media. Also,
shout-out.
Thank you. And
thank
also,
you
thank
me.
You. Thank you so much for coming. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The Cremas, how did you enjoy the Cremas?
Well, you know, I told you I'm not a Cremas
right,
drinker.
Right.
Yeah.
But Joe,
I'm one of them Haitians that don't drink Cremas, I don't eat legume, and I don't eat bouillon.
Oh, what? What? You had a whole studio pause. You don't eat legume?
No.
Why?
I like Lalo. I don't like griot because of the fried pork. I like pork.
That's understandable. But, okay, what about the bouillon?
Because I was traumatized. My mom made it with goat head one day, and she didn't tell me. And I was a kid, and I went to get some soup.
And
a big old head popped up. I was like, nah, I'm good.
Okay, so do you drink soup, Joma?
No. Because I had it every year. We got it. I mean, I know the
we
tradition.
Get it once a year.
No, you know, I go to Haiti every other month, and they cook it every day in Haiti.
You don't have to eat it every day when you go to Haiti.
I don't eat soup jumu.
That's crazy. You can have lava.
I don't eat pua congo. I don't eat mai mune. So I can go on and on.
Oh, the culture, sis. The culture.
I love Haitian food, but I stick to what I like. I'm a picky eater.
You're a picky eater. Okay, mm-hmm. I can tell, child. So thank you guys again for viewing us. Follow me at I am Karma with the C _. And thank you. Bisou.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.